Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Why won't you listen? Argue, why won't you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
Yes, this is Karen Cataline. Good afternoon to you. This is Spouting Off, and you're tuned to BBS Radio Station 1, and oh, I'm so happy to be with you. It's Tuesday, February 13th, 2018, and oh my, there is a lot going on. First, I want to give you an update on Obamagate. Now, what can we call this? There's Obamagate, the Trump dossier, Fusion GPS, Uranium One, FBI, CIA. You know, Sean Hannity, if you watch Sean Hannity sometimes at night on Fox News, you see updates that just blow your mind every day. On the one hand, I think he's drawing it out drip by drip by drip by drip. And on the other hand, I'm thinking, how can this still keep going on and we never come to any fruition? I think they're twisting the screws, is what I think. They're twisting the screws tighter and tighter and tighter. But here's a way to keep it all maybe a little straighter. There are people that are watching every chapter and verse of this scandal that is rolling out day by day. And then there are people that just want to know the highlights. So if you just want to know the highlights, because it's a gnarly, gnarly thing. I mean, every branch leads to another set of corruption and pay to play and a lot of it is just manipulation of our elections, which is why I've said again and again that it was a miraculous day when Donald Trump secured not only the nomination, but the election of President of the United States on November 8th, 2016, when nobody expected him to win. And even the Democrats cannot agree on whether he expected to win. First, they said he was shocked when he won, and then they said he expected it. And then they said that he rigged the election so he would win. They said, how can you rig an election that you don't want to win? you can't make this stuff up. But if you want to have kind of a blueprint, or shall we say a thumbprint, of what to watch for. And I'm not trying to lecture you because you've been watching it too. We've been all watching it together going, what are we going to do with all this information? Well, the best defense is a good offense. That's what I think is going on with the Democrats. When they did not get their Hillary, who would cover up for them, when there was even a remote possibility, I think most of them thought Hillary would win. I mean, they were doing their damnedest to cheat, right? To manipulate, to throw lies out into the public that they knew weren't true. That's what lies are, things that you know aren't true, right? But still, they knew the danger. I think that the establishment Republicans knew the danger too, that unless they could keep the deep state in power, and they don't care if they're a Democrat or Republican, we found that out, then if a true outsider like a Donald Trump, who wasn't owned by anybody, they couldn't bribe him, they already tried blackmailing him, and they already tried lying about him, then they were in big trouble, because what they were really trying to protect is at least an inkling, a little bit of what is actually coming out now. That is what they've been trying to protect. So if you want to know what they're guilty of, for the most part, it's exactly what they've been accusing Trump of. And I think this was done on purpose. When Trump was actually elected, they must have been fit to be tied. Wouldn't you have loved to be an ant on a wall and watched this, as he said. And we got an inkling of this with the Peter Strzok and the Lisa Page texts, in which they just couldn't believe that this man, Donald Trump, a real normal person that they've been trying to smear as a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, just the worst thing, Kim Jong-il, a Hitler. People believe that about Donald Trump. I mean, he has his flaws, but he is no such thing. They couldn't believe that this man was elected president of the United States. And then they went, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. Because he's not going to stand for the stuff we've been doing. We thought we'd get away with it because Hillary, you know, would cover up for us, because only one reason she'd cover up for us, because she'd be covering up for herself. She was colluding with the FBI. She was colluding with the Justice Department. And her own Democrat admitted that she was colluding with the DNC. And they are supposed to be kept separate. Did you know that? They're supposed to be separate. She can't be running the Democrat National Committee and run her campaign. That alone is illegal. She is guilty of so many felonies. It's frightening. So once it was determined that Donald Trump was going to be president, no matter how many pussy hats they put on their heads, the next question is, what are we going to do to try to cover up? Well, we can't cover up because he's going to find it out. So the best thing we can do, it's actually in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. The best thing to do is accuse them of what you're doing. It is no accident that Donald Trump was accused of colluding with Russians. And the more we unravel this ball of yarn, we find that it was the Democrat Party, it was Hillary, it was Obama, which we already had a hint of when he was caught on an open microphone. Those of us in talk radio know that's deadly, right? You better be who you are or someone will find out. It was the Democrats that were colluding with the Russians, and always were. And so it's a great tactic. You know, I'm shuffling papers here. It's a great tactic to accuse others of what you're doing. So when it does come out that maybe there'll be some sort of moral equivalence of the two, well, none of that is happening. It is backfiring, backfiring, and backfiring on the Democrats. What's going to happen in the future? I don't have a crystal ball. And if I did, I'm not sure I'd believe it. But I'm not too optimistic about how this is all going to shake out in the short term. I think in the short term, God forbid, these people, some of them might get away with it. And by get away with it, I mean they won't go to jail. Now, they'll lose their jobs eventually. They will be shamed. But in today's political world, shame is preciously rare. I mean, anybody ought to be ashamed with the kind of stuff that's coming out, and still they're claiming it's nothing, that it doesn't matter. So I don't know. Obviously, we all want these people. We don't want there to be a two-tier justice system in this country where the political elites get away with obstructing justice and out-and-out corruption, the kind of corruption that makes Watergate look like child's play. They should go to jail. They need to go to jail. And if we're worth our salt, they will. We don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But what I do know for sure, or what I think I know, I'm never very sure about telling the future, is that I think in the long term, history will not look kindly on the Obama presidency, that he was allowed to run rampant with the Constitution. He was allowed to get away with anything he wanted because the excuse was, well, you're racist if you disagree with me. Which leads me to the subject that I had planned to talk about, and it's important. It kind of epitomizes exactly at least some of the things that we're seeing in politics today. So it's February 13th on this broadcast, and we're right at the very beginning of a couple of weeks of the Olympics. We have the Olympics in Pyeongchang. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And you just can't get away from the politicization. And if anybody can tell me how to pronounce that correctly, I would be grateful. Politicization or politicization, whatever it is. They politicize everything, doggone it. That's what they do. And so the NFL, tying your shoes, anything is something that they would politicize. The left in particular, I have to say. And they have a very big microphone. They got the Oscars coming up and the Grammys and, you know, an awards season where we have to watch them congratulate themselves ad nauseum. And while they're congratulating themselves, they're also congratulating themselves for their very, very left-wing liberal politics that they think everybody else ought to have. Because God forbid you should disagree with a celebrity who lives such a more moral life than you. But I digress. So we got the Olympics going on, and there's already been a bunch of politicizing because that just happens. Wasn't it wonderful in the days when you tuned in either the winter or the summer Olympics and you said, oh, I can't wait to watch the ice skating and the downhill skiing and the even the curling, which is ridiculous. And if I could just watch those things and be left alone, I'd be happy. But the left-wing media has decided to make Kim Jong-un's sister some kind of a hero, a more glamorous icon than yet Ivanka Trump. Can you imagine what the left would be doing with Ivanka Trump if she just was a Democrat? They would make her a goddess. They would turn her into Princess Meghan, Princess Kate, and who knows else, all rolled into one. But since she is the daughter of a Republican president, she's persona non grata, and she's evil and terrible and awful. And they don't even know they do this stuff. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's the very definition of bigotry. But I'm digressing from what I wanted to talk to you about. What I wanted to talk to you about is this fascinating story. It's all fascinating. You just watch. And, you know, I'm running out of popcorn. I really am. There is a ice skater by the name of Adam Rippon who has been having an open Twitter war with our Vice President Mike Pence. He doesn't like Mike Pence, and they've been going back and forth. And this is how a friendly site refers to this story. Who is Adam Rippon? Rippon, and I think that's how you pronounce his name, 28, of Los Angeles, is the first openly gay athlete to qualify for a U.S. Winter Olympic squad, according to his team, USA Bio. So Adam Rippon, along with another fellow, is openly gay. Well, here's my first question. Since when is being openly gay a real big deal in today's world? Would you tell me that? I mean, it is. We're living in the time of lesbian chic. We're living in the time of gay chic. It's hard to imagine that gays are, especially in Los Angeles, where Adam Rippon lives, especially in the field of figure skating is what it is. I doubt seriously that he's getting any kind of, like he has to be in a closet because he's so terrified at his mistreatment. We celebrate gay people today. They're not in any kind of a closet. I think that Black Republicans are in a closet. I think Jewish Republicans sometimes feel they need to be in a closet. I think white Christians sometimes think they have to be in a closet. But gay people? No, not really. But nonetheless, the left holds on to this narrative because without it, you couldn't be a victim. You just can't be a victim without the narrative of, you know, I'm terrible. Now, the bio goes on to say that he suffered bullying and teased growing up. Okay. I'm sure that's true. I'm sure if he was effeminate, and I think that's not a good thing, but who of us weren't bullied and teased growing up? Now, I can hear the voice of a lefty in my head saying, but it's not the same as being gay. And you're right, it's not. You get teased, you get bullied, and then you have to deal with it. I just learned a lesson just a minute ago before I was broadcasting about how sometimes you got to put on your big girl panties and move forward. Right, Mr. Engineer? That's right. So Adam Rippon has won a bronze medal in the group, in the team sport. And he's already said, I think even before he was invited to the White House, because it is, after all, customary, that he would never go to the White House. And Mike Pence, as you know, is at the Olympics doing a little bit of schmoozing and a little bit of whatever vice presidents of the United States do at the Olympics. And he's already gotten into a fight with our openly gay ice skater. Now, what Rippon claims is, number one, of course, is an excuse to hate Donald Trump, because we can't possibly do anything in life without using it as an excuse to hate Donald Trump. But furthermore, Adam Rippon is absolutely certain that Mike Pence funded gay conversion therapy. That's what he says they did, despite the fact that after he accused Mike Pence of doing that when he was governor of Indiana, Mike Pence said, no, that wasn't true, that's really not what that particular bill was about. The reason Adam Rippon is certain that Mike Pence did that is because Adam Rippon knows that Mike Pence is what's the term I want to use? An openly Christian. That's why I was having trouble. You can be openly gay, but you can't be openly Christian. And I'm not even a Christian. But today, if you're openly Christian, you run the risk of being hated by somebody like Adam Rippon, who is sure that it ought to be illegal for you to disapprove of his behavior. See, that's one of the keys, is that if you disapprove, used to be years ago that all gay people wanted was equal rights, not equal outcomes, and, you know, and not to be discriminated against in basic issues. And you know what? Even that in the culture is probably a lot to ask, but that's for another day, because we've expanded the civil rights legislation to a ridiculous degree in which the government can come in and tell someone that you have to hire Jewish football players, even though there's like one in the NFL. Jews tend to be the doctors that's the stereotype, right? They fix the football players, but they don't go out there on the field and play, okay? So merit is something that the left does not like and does not support. So back to Mike Pence and Adam Rippon. Here is the actual USA Today, as reported in USA Today, what the bill said. And this is how Adam came to the conclusion that Mike Pence supports gay conversion therapy. Even if he did, is that an excuse for Adam to act like a jerk? Apparently, in today's world, it's perfectly fine to act like a jerk. All you have to do is hate a Christian or a white person or a male person, for that matter, and you're in like Flint. So here's what the legislation said. It said, Congress should support the reauthorization of the Ryan White CARE Act only after completion of an audit to ensure that federal dollars were no longer being given to organizations that celebrate and encourage the types of behavior that facilitate the spreading of the HIV virus. Uh-oh, he heard something. Oh, well, we can't do that. First of all, I don't think the government ought to be telling people how to behave necessarily. They can give out information, but I am editorializing. Resources should be directed toward those institutions which provide assistance to those seeking to change their sexual behavior. So from that, it never said a thing about gay conversion therapy. Adam Rippon already made the assumption because he's been taught to hate white Christian males who don't approve of his behavior. He's been taught to say that they're the bad guys for daring to disapprove of his behavior. And therefore, of course, they support gay conversion therapy. All right. Even if he did, and I'm certain he does not, that's no excuse to act like a jerk. And nowhere in here does it say that he's supporting gay conversion therapy. Now, here's what I think is going on. I think that Adam Rippon and others in the gay mafia like him would be deeply and profoundly upset if they found out that Mike Pence not only doesn't support gay conversion therapy, but is a pretty harmless guy. You know, he really wants to be a nice guy. And even if he was a Republican who said, you know what, I no longer care what you do in your bedroom. I'm the vice president of the United States and I got bigger fish to fry. Even if he said that, if he said, it doesn't matter to me what you do, I'm not going to sit in judgment of you anymore. I think that gay activists would be deeply disappointed because it takes away their victimhood status. And so they go out of their way to recreate and manufacture outrage when there isn't any. Here's the truth as I see it. And it's on my website, very first, front and center. The Constitution doesn't guarantee your right not to be offended. And the Constitution doesn't guarantee your right to be approved of all the time. When I wrote a book about my mother put me in child beauty pageants when I was a kid, and I did all kinds of research about that subject. And then when I was 16, unconsciously, I ended up, or I grew, I guess you could say, to be really, really heavy. I was extremely heavy in high school. So not only did I, and that made it possible for me not to have to be in beauty pageants anymore. I was 16 by then, and I knew my mother really loved all that beauty pageant, girly, frilly, girly girl stuff, and she was really into exposing and showing people off and all that kind of stuff, showing me off, I should say, in very, very suggestive sort of ways, not unlike some of the child beauty pageants you see today, although the pageants themselves in those days were benign by comparison. And so either consciously or unconsciously, it was mostly unconsciously, I gained a whole lot of weight. And so it's one of the reasons I became a social worker and a mental health professional, because I found it fascinating when I used myself as a guinea pig to realize that my behavior was much more intentional unconsciously, oops, than I knew. I'm going to turn that off. So my behavior was much more unconscious than I knew. And it had a purpose. But then I was left with two problems. I had the problem of a mother that wanted to display me and the problem of being really, 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 really heavy. I bring all this up because even as a kind of a chubby kid and a much heavier adolescent teenager, I sustained tons of bullying and making fun of and unpleasant behavior. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was right. But I didn't think that I would have a right to tell someone else what to think of me. I had enough to deal with what I thought of myself. And it's a very strange thing today that the same political bullies who are telling everybody else that they are fragile, that they cannot tolerate someone else's opinion, and that they are dictating to the rest of us what we should think and feel, those same people are the snowflakes who are too fragile to tolerate a difference of opinion on a college campus. These are important topics. So Adam Rippon calls disapproval homophobia. That's what he calls it, right? So truly, homophobia or any kind of phobia means that you have an unrealistic fear of something. And so it's already a misnomer, because what they really want you to think is that anybody who dares to disapprove of homosexuality, and I really don't care one way or the other. I was in the theater for many, many years. If I had a problem with that, yeah, I probably wouldn't have been in the theater for so many years. But they want you to believe that if you dare to disapprove, that you are secretly gay. And that is an illogical, irrational attack, or a way to fight back is to say, well, you just really want to be me. No, I just disapprove of your behavior, and I'm entitled because this is America. But the arrogance and the smugness with which the gay mafia, and I don't include all gay people in this, is what bothers me. What also bothers me is the identity politics, the fact that we're all nothing more than some group that the left has decided that we should be identified with. And that is so that the left can rally us all around a certain cause. So if you're not outraged by their climate change lunacy, then you'll be outraged because if you're gay, then you can still afford to hate Republicans. And that's really the fascinating thing, is that the same people that were preaching tolerance to all of us are the least tolerant of all. And now they've moved and stepped up their game to the point where they are the tolerance dictators. They are the people that tell you that if you're not tolerant in the same way they want you to be, well, then you deserve all the hatred and the viciousness and the vitriol that they can throw at you. So, and most of all, you get to be as hateful and intolerant towards white Christian males as you want, because they're never going to vote Democrat, or the Democrats think, or so they think. So it's okay to hate them. I wonder if I can explain this, then we're going to take a break. The Democrat Party is really made up of some concentric circles. I think that the hardcore socialists / communists are in the center of that circle, where they know that the tactics being used are a means towards an end. All of the climate change environmentalism are a means towards an end. The ridiculous Intifa movement, a fascist violent movement claiming to be anti-fascist. If you dig a little deeper into those movements and those people, you'll find they're all from the National Socialist Workers Party. That's who they are. That's what they're doing. They're creating chaos in order to bring about socialism in America. And then there's a lot of hangers-on. People who buy in to the left's lies about, well, we're more tolerant than the next guy. We care more about the little guy than those mean old Republicans who have money and they don't deserve it. I think there's a lot of well-meaning people who've been led down the yellow brick road, literally. They've been promised utopia. They've been promised perfection. They've been promised that this incompetent behemoth of a government that can't do anything right and is full of corruption, suddenly they turn all that off and they say, yeah, but they're going to take care of me and they're going to do it great. Really? there's a childish fantasy going on there. And so I don't think the left is all the same people. And I just wanted to kind of make that clear as we go on, because I don't want you to think that all I ever do is speak in large generalities. We're going to get to another topic after the break, and I encourage you to stay with us. This is Karen Ketteline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio Station 1.
Hi, I'm Chandler, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is President of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on the continuing relevance of the Constitution.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Tolerating what you don't like. We're talking opinions, not actions. Tolerating what you don't like in other people's opinions protects your freedom. Unless it directly infringes on your rights to life, liberty, and property, then tolerating what you don't like is what's going to protect your freedom. I just said that twice. Now, the interesting thing is it was the left. They kept telling us how tolerant they were, and they're the tolerance police, and they turned all this upside down and inside out. So some years ago, they were running around telling everybody they needed to be tolerant, but guess what? If you're not as tolerant as they think you should be, they're going to hate your guts, and they're not tolerant about that at all. So who are they really intolerant against? Well, they're intolerant of Christians. They're intolerant of white people. They're intolerant of anything that smacks of America. And some of them don't even know it. It's fascinating. I would submit to you that gay people, lesbian people, and all these various groups aren't in the closet at all. They're more out of the closet than they've ever been in my lifetime and many lifetimes before. But I'll tell you, someone who epitomizes what a person is often in the closet. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to be different. You're not allowed to march to your own drummer. And that is to be a female and a black person living in New York City and be a Republican. Do we have Melita Scott on the line? You're live on Spouting Off. And I welcome you to the program. You live in New York City, right?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. And you're a person who happens to be black, and you're a Republican. I messed up the introduction. You're also a district leader in New York's Upper West Side in the Republican Party, and you specialize in public speaking, and you also are a reverend. You'll have to tell us about that. And you've done some training of voters. Now, how'd you come to be a Republican when everybody expected you to be something as far away from that as possible?
Well, I guess the best way I can say that is when I first started to vote, you know, and registered to vote, I should say, I asked my mother, what are we? And she said, oh, we're Democrats. And I just took it for granted, as many people of color take for granted. But as a indigenous person, Native American, I have Hispanic in me, and, of course, more. You know, I started to look at things because the Democratic Party says that they're for minorities. They say that they're for the people of color. However, I look at certain situations. You take the projects. You know, the five boroughs, New York City, is a Democratic stronghold. And yet, if they're for us, they're not doing anything for people of color. And then, of course, I was working for the city at that time, and I became a shop steward. And they decided that since I was so outspoken, that I should go to school to learn how to run a campaign. Well, in doing so, I started listening to the professor and asking questions like, well, what's a Dixiecrat? And starting doing some research. And that's when I came across some facts, which a lot of people of color do not know. Matter of fact, a lot of Caucasian people do not know. They don't realize.
Well, lay it
that,
on us, Melita. What facts do people not know?
Okay. Well, some of the facts are, when I ask people what party founded the anti-slavery party and fought to free blacks from slavery. And, of course, here they said, that's the Democratic Party. I said, no, you're wrong. It was the Republican Party. Matter of fact, okay, Republicans got beat up on the Senate floor years ago because Republicans were fighting for our rights when Democrats did not want it. You also have, we would have had the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment passed as far as the U.S. Constitution, but, of course, the Republicans were fighting for it, and the Democrats were against it. So these things could have happened much sooner than when they did. You know, and then, of course, the biggest thing of all that really choked me as I was finding out these things was that the NAACP, okay, the founding fathers were Republicans, not Democrats. They founded, funded, supported the NAACP. Our colleges, our black colleges, same way.
The first Republicans were abolitionists.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
They were called radical Republicans.
And why do you think it is that nobody knows that today?
Well, first of all, history, you know, you can't change history, but you can rewrite it in the textbooks. And, of course, it's not being taught. And unfortunately, okay, the Republican Party is not pushing the issue like they should. You know, there's this new thing that goes on that says, oh, you know, the past is the past, and we should look to the future. But, see, you cannot know your future unless you know where you're at. And you can't know where you're at unless you know where you've come from. You see, because
isn't it interesting that they spent so much time trying to rewrite and change history, and to blame slavery on Republicans and call Republicans racist and bigots, while on the other hand, now they're ready to smash statues and get rid of the history altogether. I don't think they know what they want.
You know what? They want confusion, and they want to keep the people ignorant, and they want to even make the generation coming up really, they want to control their minds. And I'm going to touch on a couple of things that I heard you say. First of all, let me just put this out here. The party of the Ku Klux Klan is the Democratic Party. Hear me, people in Radio Land. The party of the Ku Klux Klan is the Democratic Party. Wake up. Wake up, people. Okay, now that I've got that out, I always have to get that off my chest.
Hey, the show's called Spouting Off, so you go for it.
Okay, well, I'm spouting.
Okay, good.
You know, it's very sad. I mean, I could go through a list of things, you know, but I want to cover on some of the things that I heard you mention. You know, you talk about our Constitution and you talk about our rights. Well, I'm sorry. If you have not taken the pledge to defend and respect this country and you're not a citizen, the Constitution is not for you. It's for everyone who is a U.S. citizen, okay? Whether you were born here or you came here and you followed the process, not jumped over a wall, under a fence,
okay,
or whatever.
Okay, well, before we get on to immigration, let me take the reins of the show back for a little bit, because I see that you have lots of passion, and that's all great. I want, though, for you to talk from a personal perspective about, I mean, you said that your whole family said you were Democrats, so you voted Democrat. But you...
Well, my mother did, yes.
Right. So, Melita, this is one of the things that I'm always fascinated by, is what is it? It's kind of like cults, right? I'm very fascinated with cults and what makes people not only get in them, but what makes people get out of them. And it requires a glimmer of independence of thought in order to start asking questions and educating yourself independently. Was there one thing that made you say, I'm going to check this out for myself?
Yes, as I said, when I was in school learning to run a campaign, I found out about the different parties, and I started going off on my own, you know, because they didn't tell me all this, researching. And it didn't take me long to find a few facts. And the first fact that I found out was that the Democrats was the Ku Klux Klan. Well, there's no way in the world I'm going to be in a party that did the things that they did to people of color. No way. So I immediately ran to the post office, grabbed 3 voter registration cards, came home, told my husband, told my mother, you're changing. And I told them why, and they did. So in my house, there's no confusion. Because, you see, a house divided cannot stand. So in my household, we are staunch Republicans. We're conservative Republicans. And for you Christians out there that call yourself Christians, how in the world did you think you should vote for Hillary Clinton when she puts on a pedestal Margaret Singer, who created Planned Parenthood, whose objective was to get rid of black unborn babies. Babies of color.
Yeah, that is something that is not known. That's true. And it was Margaret
Singer.
That's not known. I mean, I said that is not widely known, that Margaret Singer, which is a great Democrat hero, was a eugenicist. Now, it's starting to come out a little bit now, but the Democrats really just don't want to talk about it.
Well, they don't want to talk about that.
You obviously need your own show, Melita, because you're very passionate, and I think that's a wonderful thing. Do you use your passion to go out and talk to other people, black and white, about conservative ideas?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, I can prove to anyone listening in the New York area that I'm the one district leader that is Republican that has recruited more people into the Republican Party than anybody else, and I can proudly say that because I know that for a fact.
Okay, so let's unwrap this a bit. What have you found has been the most successful, effective method for, shall we say, evangelizing your conservatism?
Truth. Just truth. Pointing it out and telling people, well, if you don't believe it, Google it. And my latest thing that I like to tell people, oh, you like Hillary so much? Do you know that she considered your husband, if he's a man of color, your sons, super predators? And then I love the Google phone. You know, I can just pull it up on your Android or whatever. And I show them where she's saying it out of her mouth. And then they're shocked. You know, and then, of
course, there's,
you know,
what?
So I educate. I said they're shocked. They become, you know, like their mouth.
Oh, they are shocked. Like, okay.
Yeah, they're okay. Absolutely shocked. They cannot believe it. I'm sorry.
We're in such a hyper. As I was talking about this a little earlier, a hyper politicized environment where people are getting the news that agrees with their point of view, and so if they're liberals, they never hear about the Trump dossier or Fusion GPS, and they watch MSNBC and CNBC and NBC, CBS, whatever, and they're getting an entirely different narrative. So once a person is getting a narrative fed to them, spoon-fed, then I think people wonder, how do you break through all that when what you're saying just sounds like more propaganda.
Truth with facts. And now everything is out there with facts. People can, if they really want the truth, they can find out. And many people have taken, written down the things I've told them, put it on their telephone, and called me back and said, oh my God, I didn't know this. I'm changing. And I recently found out from someone, I haven't had a chance to check it, but I know she's always right on point. There are more people starting to change from, more people of color, let me put it that way, starting to change from Democrat to the Republican Party. And the only reason they are pushing that agenda about allowing the DACA kids to stay and this and that is because, you see, the Democrats got this thing that they do. And it was caught on tape by a Democratic commissioner. They bus people from poll site to poll site. If they do it here in New York City, you know they do it other places. So they can vote two and three times, okay? They allow people to have no identification to be shown to prove that you are who you are. So therefore, you can just put a hat on, another wig, and vote multiple times. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and they've also,
I mean, it's only by God's grace that Donald Trump won.
Well, exactly. And they also put forth the narrative, which is totally false and condescending to black people, that if you're black, you're somehow being discriminated against to have to show an identification when you're asked to show or that black people somehow are too stupid to get an ID. When you need an ID to open a bank account, to go to a gym, to go anywhere, to do anything, you need an ID. And so I saw a video that showed people just being asked on the street, do you have an ID? Yes. Do you have an ID? Do you think black people can't get an ID? There was not one person who said, oh, black people find it too difficult to get an ID? Seriously? Who's the racist one if Democrats think blacks are so stupid? Right?
Well, you know what? If it's a matter of them coming from the point that a person may not have the funds to pay for it, well, since they're for people of color, so much, they should allow a situation where it's free. You shouldn't have to pay.
But it is. You can get an ID. You don't have to pay for it.
It's sad. It's very sad. It's very, very sad what's going on. Because my mother...
Let me ask you another question.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry? Are we doing okay, Mr. Engineer? Yeah? Let me ask you another question. One of the things that's happened in the last several years, ever since, remember Van Jones? Do you know who Van Jones is?
His name escapes me right now.
Well, now he's a big star on the left. I guess he's on either MSNBC or one of those lefty programs. He was in the Obama administration, and he had to leave because it was discovered that he was a card-carrying socialist. He admitted to being a socialist, and he was revealed because, you know, socialists at that time were trying very hard to blend into the Democrat Party. Nonetheless, Van Jones is now a revered, just like Reverend Al Sharpton and all those guys. They've been rehabilitated to the point where, you know, they claim to speak for all black people. So one of the things Van Jones was
He speaks for all stupid people. He don't speak for people of color that got any brain.
He doesn't speak for you, and he doesn't speak for me. That is exactly right, Melita. One of the things they were doing that was just so contemptible, and Van Jones was ahead of this, is they were trying to combine various special interest groups together because, you know, they had a natural antithesis for one another. Things like blacks and gays, things like blacks and environmentalists, you know, they don't naturally go together. So what they tried to do, since leftism is really all about balkanization of people and identifying them simply as a member of a group, is that they had lots of black gay people out front so that they could desensitize black people from disliking homosexuality, which my understanding is traditionally black people have been very religious and they don't much care for it. That doesn't mean there aren't black gay people, but they were trying to combine these groups together. Did you find that you were being recruited somehow to suddenly be a lot more pro-gay, pro-gay marriage, pro-environmentalism, climate change, and all those kinds of pet leftist projects that the left has in order to put forth their socialism?
No one can recruit me for anything. I've had a mind of my own since
I know,
I
but
can
my
remember
my question
as
was,
a little child.
Have you
no,
seen that?
It never happened. I haven't seen it because people know that I'm going to sprout off. You know, when people know what you're about, they go around you, and they're careful about what they say in front of you.
Yeah.
And
where's your favorite?
You know,
place
and they know that I have a mind, and I'm not going to fall for that.
Right. You clearly do. Where's your favorite place to get news, Melita? Where do you get your news?
Oh, gosh, let me see. LaRouche Foundation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of like read different things. Well, if I find out something, I'll ask Google a question. You know,
as in Lyndon LaRouche.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, the LaRouche Foundation. Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
I'm involved with an organization called the National Black Republican Association, and we've done a lot of different things.
Well, that is amazing.
Too.
I want to hear
Yes, absolutely.
What kind of stuff do the National Black Republican Association do?
Well, one of the things that they did was to print out a magazine at one point. We did a few magazines, and it was educating people on different things, such as the good things about the Republican Party and the negative things about the Democratic Party, so people can wake up, because a lot of people did not realize that the KKK was a Democratic Party. They print different books that people should go to the library and read. One particular book that would wake up anybody would be my friend Angela McGowan, Bamboozle.
I think I'm familiar
candidate.
With that. Also, Dinesh D'Souza has a good book.
I'm sorry?
About the big lie.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that one?
No, I haven't gotten a hold of that one yet. But that also,
you might really like that one. That has
Reverend
everything
Wayne
to do
Perryman.
With what you're talking about. Sorry?
There's a gentleman, Reverend Wayne Perryman, a good friend. and he came out with a book called Unfounded Loyalty and Unveiling the Truth. You would have to go to WaynePerryman.com to be able to purchase his books if he's still selling it on his site.
Right.
But yeah, there's lots of books that has the truth. Even They Think You're Stupid by Mr. Carson. You know, there's many
books.
Yeah,
it's a growing field, and that is a great thing. One of the things, Melita, that I think Republicans struggle with, I guess, is that it's very hard. I'm not saying we shouldn't keep trying, and we are winning at the moment. It's very hard to bid higher than what the Democrats promise, because they promise utopia. They promise we're going to take care of you and more stuff, more goodies. And so it's very hard to compete with more goodies, more free stuff than, oh, it's going to feel so much better for you to be self-sufficient and independent.
The Republican Party starts to explain the pros and cons of any particular situation, then if you have a mind, you're going to know which way is correct. You know, and you only have a certain percentage of people that want to just sit on their laurels and receive free stuff. Okay, most real voting Democrats are working men and women. You know, they have their own businesses. They're not lazy people. They just need to be awakened. They need to wake up.
Yes.
I mean, how can you have a business and think that you should be in the Democratic Party? How could you have a job and think that you should be in the Democratic Party, and here you are working and working to buy a house, and, you know, they want to tax your house again with the inheritance tax after you die. Here you think you left your child a piece of property, and unless you left that child money to pay for that tax, they're going to have to pay taxes on a house that's already been paid for and had the tax. See, it's things like that. When you explain something to a person and you really hit home, people are not stupid. You know, a person can make the correct choice, but you have to feed them the right information. And the Democratic Party is excellent at twisting the truth, hijacking the Republican Party and all of the good that it has done. And then, of course, you've got those infiltrators in the Republican Party. So you take 20 of those, okay, and they start to act like Democrats because that's what they really are. Then you've got this thing where people say, well, everybody's the same. No, it's not. All you have to do is ask them some basic questions, and you'll know whether or not they're a real Republican or if they're what's known as a rhino, Republican in name only. But see, you have to understand the platform in order to know that.
I tend to not use that term for a variety of reasons, but, you know, you and I are free to disagree. When I hear that term, people think they know what that means. For example, if you have any sense that the government should be out of the business of telling people whether they can have an abortion or not, you're considered a rhino. And so the Republican Party is filled with people with a lot of opinions on a lot of different things. And you don't have to agree with every piece of the Republican platform, which is, as you know, changing frequently. But there are certain things that Republicans do agree. Hopefully they believe in limited government and a restraint of government. So, I don't know. Rhino's never been a term that I've been awfully fond of, but I do know what you mean. Nowadays, though, there's the establishment Republicans that don't seem to care whether they win or not. You know, they don't seem to care whether they even win an election because their butter's going to be breaded either way. I said that on purpose. Do you know what I mean?
And I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Right.
Yeah,
so what are you, in our last couple of minutes,
I said, that's when you have to really look to see what their real agenda really is.
Exactly. And that's why we love talk radio, right, Melita?
I love talk radio, absolutely. And I hope that you invite me again.
Yeah. In our last couple of minutes, how can people get a hold of you? Is there a project that you're working on that you would like to for people to know about?
Well, sure. They can email me to 0207tiger@gmail.com, and in the subject, they should put in their radio station talk show, and I will get back with them and talk to them. Absolutely. I would love it.
That sounds great. And then you can get some feedback. This gives me an opportunity, number one, to thank you for being my guest here on Spouting Off. And if you would like to get a hold of me, and our apologies for the technical difficulties today, we promise we're going to get this little problem straightened out once and for all so that I can be back on my microphone. And because I love my microphone and I want to be able to use it. If you'd like to reach me or Spouting Off, you can go to KarenCataline.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. Just know how to spell my name and you can find me, KarenCataline. Keep watching, keep listening, and keep spouting off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I'll be back with you next week.